Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, you'll hear the second and final part of an interview with three esteemed members of the 9/11 Truth Movement to discuss the grand jury investigation into the collapses of the three World Trade Centers in New York City on 9/11, which is now before the federal court in New York City. It's an honor to introduce these three esteemed guests. First, we have Richard Gage, who was a San Francisco Bay Area architect of 30 years, a member of the American Institute of Architects, and the founder and president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Then we have Barbara Honegger. Barbara Honegger is a leading researcher, author, and public speaker on September 11th. She is a board member and grand jury petition drafting committee member for the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry that filed a demand for a special federal criminal grand jury on the World Trade Center attacks in April of 2018 with the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Barbara Honegger served as White House policy analyst and Department of Justice official in the Reagan administration, and for over a decade was the senior military affairs journalist at the Naval Postgraduate School of the Department of Defense. And our third esteemed guest is David Weissminkel. He's been a licensed attorney in New Jersey since 1989 and a practicing criminal defense attorney for over a decade. He is presently the president and a board member of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. He's a retired police officer of 23 years and a United States Army veteran who was stationed in Germany where he worked with Pershing nuclear missiles in a top secret area. In 2009, Weissminkel ran as an independent against Chris Christie for governor. He was the only candidate who spoke about the need for a new 9/11 investigation. So as you can see, my guests today are three highly educated, highly experienced individuals who have dedicated a great deal of their time, energy, and expertise to exposing the truth about what happened on 9/11/2001. So let's begin today where we left off with this interview from last week. Richard, you've already talked about a lot of the evidence, but maybe you could give us some more examples of this evidence that really, I mean, it's irrefutable evidence against the official story of 9/11.
Heading back to Building 7, here's this 47-story skyscraper that wasn't hit by an airplane, and yet it drops like a rock. What does that actually mean? It's falling at free-fall acceleration. That means not one of those 80 columns is providing any resistance to its fall. That means they must have been removed. The only way to do that is by explosive-controlled demolition, i.e. explosives or incendiaries, which destroy those steel columns. So that is, in and of itself, direct evidence of explosive destruction that any expert will testify to. Beyond that, we have all kinds of fascinating information. For instance, in order for a building to fall that fast, it means that 400 structural steel connections are failing every second. And this is due to isolated pockets of fire scattered across many floors, relatively small fires, none of which have ever brought down a skyscraper in the history of skyscrapers ever before 9/11. Come on. But in addition to that, you have foreknowledge of this building's collapse. The firefighters are expecting it to come down. They were told it had damage and it's going to come down. So they're moved back several blocks. And then you have witnesses that are held back behind the yellow tape, if you will, like Kevin McPadden, who is listening to a radio held in the hands of a Red Cross worker, and he hears 3, 2, 1, and then he felt like a train was running underneath his feet. He talks about these explosions, very clearly explosions, before the building immediately then came down. So this is all fascinating evidence that's not included, of course, in the NIST report or the 9/11 Commission report. We also have illegal removal, destruction of evidence in a crime scene, as Dave alluded to. Just 2 weeks after 9/11, the steel from World Trade Center 7, at a rate of 400 truckloads per day, was put on barges and shipped to China for recycling before forensic inspectors could get their hands on it. They only had a couple of beams that they took photo ops of measuring and so forth. And one of those was Abulhazen Astani Azal, a UC Berkeley professor, who complained about the steel being shipped away to China. He says, this is a crime. And the photo that he has, he's documenting the corrosion of the steel, which is hot temperature corrosion, the melting of the beams, which he falsely attributes to being down in the pile and fires. Well, fires are put out in Building 7. They were put out when the building collapsed. It extinguished all the fires, and yet NASA overflight find 1,400 degree temperatures on the surface of that pile. That's more than twice as hot as those temperatures of those fires in that building ever were. So what are they measuring? They're measuring much, much hotter temperatures radiating from this molten iron down in the pile, of which so many first responders, structural engineers, and metal workers documented. So I can go on and on, but I'm just hogging all the time.
Wow, that's very valuable information. This is a question for Dave, and maybe Barbara also on this one, but what are some of the possible areas where the government, through the grand jury process, could continue the cover-up and not be genuine in their pursuit of justice?
You never know, I mean, because we're not inside that, and anything can happen. We would like to imagine that it's going to be presented and that people are going to be able to look at it, the grand jurors, and connect the dots and utilize the resources the U.S. attorney has as far as investigators. Now, one of the things we've done is we've asked them, we told them we would like to assist them and make presentations with them or, you know, on their behalf and call witnesses and stuff like that if we could bring witnesses in, like architects and engineers or people that are associated with them. But we would like to present the evidence to them, and we haven't received a response from them. Now, there's an action which we're prepared to do, we'd prefer not to do, it's called a mandamus action. And that would be a complaint in court, which would be against the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorney, and it would basically say to the judge, Your Honor, the U.S. attorney has a legal obligation to present the evidence that we've given to the grand jury, and they haven't done that. We are asking you to order them to do it, all right? So order them to do it. And if they didn't do it, they would be in contempt, and that would be pretty interesting what would happen. As far as how we're going to be on top of it, that's something that we'll have to feel it as it goes along. Hopefully we can make some more contact with them, and then we'll get an acknowledgement from them. We may even decide to actually try to get an acknowledgement directly from them. There are other things we can do besides the grand jury petition. There are other actions that could be done. And, you know, it could be done. Not to say it will, but it could be. So we then put all the eggs in this basket, so to speak, as far as this particular grand jury. This is just directed now. That was a very sophisticated crime on 9/11, and it encompassed a number of crime scenes. We mentioned the Building 7, and we mentioned the towers, the North and South Tower, Building 1 and 2. But we didn't talk about the Pentagon because this evidence isn't directed at what happened at the Pentagon, and we didn't talk about Shanksville, and that evidence is not directed at what happened in Pennsylvania. And there's other possible actions that could happen. So this is basically the first action by the Lawyers Committee in the courts, and we're feeling our way as we go. We've not been down this path here as an organization. I have personally had some contact as a criminal defense attorney with grand juries, but nothing like this. Yeah, we're asking them to investigate the worst crime in the history of our country, I would say. And we've given them the documents that they need to do it. They should have done it 16 or 17 years ago. We don't know how politics will play into it. This is a fluid context in which we are in right now, historically. And hopefully we've just caught the wave at the right time. That for whatever reason, they've acknowledged and told us that they're going to honor our request. They didn't have to do that. They've done it. That, to me, that's significant. That letter, that two-sentence letter that I read previously, it gives all these arguments credibility. It gives all that evidence credibility because the U.S. attorney is saying that he's going to present that. And, again, we have to just feel it as we go. It's almost probably instinctive, And it's not something that I can just tell you. There's not a procedure as far as us getting an acknowledgement other than if they want to give us an acknowledgement. We'll do the best we can, though. And maybe Barbara has more insights to it and Richard than what I just said. But it's a new road for us, and we're counting on them to do what they're supposed to do. And if we have any hint that they're not, we're prepared to go into court to force them to do that. And we also have other actions we can do around these evidence and around this situation in New York.
Good to hear. And Barbara?
Yes, I would like to add to that. The first thing I'd like to add is that Dave Meiswinkel touched on it, that it is our intent that this is not the first grand jury that we are going to demand under the law is convened. We intend to do that for the other main site, the Pentagon, Pennsylvania, for government cover-up, for the anthrax attacks, perhaps. There are many other areas that we can have also petitions to the grand jury in the future to demand that the convening of grand jury. Another point I want to make is what they have agreed to do under the cited statute that Dave read in the U.S. Attorney's letter to us of November 7th. It requires them not only to present all of the evidence in our petition and the 57 exhibits that are part of the petition to the grand jury, and everyone can read exactly what the grand jurors are going to see on our website, but it also requires them to convene the grand jury, and not just any grand jury, but a federal special criminal grand jury. This is a big deal, and it requires time to do. It requires going through the voter rolls and maybe also the DMV rolls. And what's important for people to understand also is that those 23 grand jurors, special criminal grand jurors, are going to be from the jurisdiction for which the World Trade Center Towers and World Trade Center 7 are part. So they are likely going to be a bunch of them from Manhattan. And these are people whose lives to this day are phenomenally impacted by the lie of who attacked the World Trade Center Towers and the World Trade Center 7 on 9/11. That's number one. Number two, though, very important, there was a reference by Dave to the political context. As it happens historically, while we are doing the recording for this show, Cheryl, I have been watching since 6:30 a.m. my time here in California, straight through, and it's going on tomorrow at least as well, the confirmation hearing for William Barr to the Attorney General of the United States. The Attorney General of the United States will have a tremendous influence and impact over what happened with the grand jury for the World Trade Center that we know is going to go forward. And also, people should know that for whatever reason, the Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, who approved we originally communicated with, who is head of the criminal division that apparently allowed our grand jury to go forward, she was just removed from her job. And a commercial, private sector, white-collar criminal defense attorney was placed in the position instead. So we are definitely David taking on Goliath. But as Dave Meiswinkel, the president of the Lawyers Committee, said, we are inside the castle, and we got inside before they drew up the drawbridge. So we will see what happens.
Excellent. Thank you. So is there a timeline or a time frame from when you got your letter on November 7th saying that they were going to take up this grand jury investigation? Do they have a timeline where they have to have the jurors in place or be starting the investigation?
Not that we know of. I think that in law, it's always what's reasonable. All right.
Okay.
So if we have to do some action and we go into court, they'd have to show that what they did or didn't do was reasonable. That right now, I would imagine, being that they had the original complaint on April the 10th, and what that complaint outlined was the crimes of federal law criminalizing bombings of places of public use in government facilities. And that had all the exhibits, too. Then we had changed it, not changed it, we amended it a bit just to include three more crimes. And they were a federal law that criminalizes acts of terrorism transcending national boundaries, federal law criminalizing providing support to terrorists, and federal law criminalizing the killing of federal government agents and or employees. Now, just looking at that scenario you mentioned, Cheryl, imagine now it's July 30th, they have the two petitions, they have all the evidence, they've had the evidence since April, and now we get a letter in November. So it's not July, it's August, September, October, November, and in November 7th, he's saying we have received and reviewed. So they had to review it. And there could be a lot to review because those exhibits could take you hours and hours and hours, maybe days to go through it, all right? So they said that they received it and reviewed it, and now they say we will comply with the provisions as they relate to your submission. And that's according to the statute 18 U.S.C. 3332. So I think it's a good bet that they've had it for a while, they've looked at it, they've had some tough decisions to make whether they're going to actually write this letter. This letter, to me, this is so sensitive an issue. And you're talking to the U.S. attorney. And I would believe that this would have to get the okay from the President of the United States. I would believe that.
Oh.
And so we're dealing with a letter that must have gone through his over his desk or his advisor's desk. This is not just any letter. This is from the main law enforcement officer in that very district where all this crime happened down in New York City. So I would think that they've certainly begun the process of impaneling grand jurors, or they may even have sworn a special grand jury in, and they may be deliberating. All right? It's been a while now. If you look at it, how it's spread out. Now, that's a very busy district. And what Barbara alluded to as far as the replacement of the chief investigator, we're not the only crime that's being investigated. There's so much stuff going on. So we might say, well, it's because of whatever reason. We don't know the reason that this one person left and another person came on. And it may be because of us. It may be because of a lot of other things. You know, we don't know that. And I'm not going to hypothecate on it. And this person, for all I know, may be even better than the previous. But if you just look at it as far as the lawyers committee, we like the other person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll like this person better. So I would think that right now it's too early to tell again. And we will reach out in our own way to them to try and get some confirmation that things are developing. And as I mentioned, if we feel that they're not, then we have other actions to do.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And I understand that Architects and Engineers has joined together with the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry for this process. And I'm just wondering, what are your next steps? What do you need? Is there a lot of work left to do for you with this, or do you just get to sit back and wait and see what happens? Richard, maybe you want to start with that?
Well, we're not sitting back. We've got a lot of work to do. And that's why we're in the middle of a fundraising campaign to support the attorneys here primarily, and also ourselves, because we're assembling the credentials of all of these experts, and there'll be dozens of them, and in specific legal formats, and we're assembling their testimony, which has got to be done just right. So that's a lot of work for us. And it's a lot more work for the attorneys who have to continue with motions to keep the U.S. attorney on his task. Dave could talk about that, Barb, too, probably. And so they've got the lion's share of the work. Let's turn it over to them here.
Okay, Barbara?
Well, the bottom line is there's another historic act that has happened, and that is for the first time. I mean, Richard can correct me if I'm incorrect, but I've said it on these radio programs a number of times and haven't been corrected yet. My understanding is that Architects and Engineers, which has been in business since at least 2006, maybe 2005, that's at least 13 years, that Architects and Engineers has never formally partnered with another organization in the past. And beginning on December 10th of last year, 2018, historically, Architects and Engineers and the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry have formally, publicly partnered together on a joint fundraising campaign for the Lawyers Committee and Architects and Engineers, but for the purpose of funding the Architects and Engineers work that is still ahead of us in order to put the witnesses, the architects, the engineers, the science's testimony into the proper legal format for the grand jury and other legal proceedings that we will do in the future, but even more importantly, to fund the Lawyers Committee attorneys, researchers, Freedom of Information Act requesters, follow-up FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request lawsuits when the government doesn't comply with providing us with the documentation that they should. The Lawyers Committee does all of these things, but our real focus for this joint fundraising drive, of course, is explicitly to fund the success of the grand jury for the World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7.
And that may include, as I mentioned before, a mandamus action where we actually go in court. We have to hire an attorney to go into court, and they have to do briefs and things of that nature. And that's the action that would compel them to do what they're supposed to do if we did find out they're not. Meanwhile, as both Richard and Barbara mentioned, there's a lot of preparation. As was mentioned, there's investigation still ongoing with the Freedom of Information actions. And there's the preparation of the professional witnesses and also our lay witnesses. And there's also, hopefully, presentations to the U.S. attorney we'll be invited to make with them. And hopefully, maybe they'll ask for some of our assistance. For a lot of them, this is a new area, just as it will be for, I'm sure, the grand jurors are going to be really surprised with what they see. I'm sure some of the U.S. attorneys that are looking at this, investigators, were surprised by what they saw, and they may hopefully reach out to us. We even talked about possibly, if that was in the cards for this, eventually being invited to go to Congress and making presentations down there. You can imagine if that would come about. So we are needing help in different ways, and if you go to LC4FOR911.org, you can see basically what we're involved with, and you can help out in whatever way you can. You can read the petition, and you can read or watch the exhibits and listen to what the firemen say. It's all very interesting, and actually, perhaps if you're not used to it, stunning or shocking.
And Dave, because Cheryl's listeners are in Connecticut, which isn't that far from New York City, it's a doable trip. Why don't you tell everybody what you know about what I understand is a public event where you and hopefully Julio Gomez and perhaps other members of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry will be holding a public event in New York City, I believe, on January 23rd.
That's right. We'll be at Quaker House, which I don't have the exact address, but we'll be there at 7 p.m. on the 23rd, so Wednesday. I think there's an event there, 7 to 9, which I believe the Truth Action Project is sponsoring. And I will be there, and I actually communicated with Julio today, and he hopes to be there. He plans to be there. He has a little conflict that if he can take care of, he'll be there. So yeah, that's somewhat in the area. Again, if you look up the Quaker House online, you can get the exact address.
I believe it's 15 Rutherford Place, I believe.
You're right. You're 100% right, Barbara.
15 Rutherford Place? Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's near Union Square, I believe.
Okay. And Richard, what is, again, is your website? Maybe you could give that out to people also?
Yes. It's AE, stands for Architects and Engineers, AE911truth.org.
Okay, great. Thank you. And before we pause today, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like the listeners to know? And I ask all of you, so anyone who wants to jump in.
Well, I would just say this, is that the reason that I think all of us are involved, and certainly I don't want to speak for all of us in that way, I speak for myself and speak for the Lawyers Committee, is that we really love our country, and we really love the standards which it supposedly represents. We really love the thought of being a beacon of freedom in the world. And I like to say this is, in a sense, a proper investigation into these horrendous crimes is a litmus test to the possibility or the feasibility of our system being able to function and go forward. In other words, if we can't address this problem, we have really, really, really big serious problems as Americans. So I would ask anyone that's listening to get on that website, look at the evidence, read the petition, And if you think there's something funny there, if you think all the cards haven't been put on the table, get involved at some level, somehow, and assert yourself as an American. And assert yourself on behalf of the freedom for yourself and your loved ones and for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights which protect us. We have to be, as Americans, step forward and say that we're Americans, and this is not coming off on our stand. We are going to preserve our freedom. And so that's what I would say. Let's preserve our freedom, and we have to be proactive here. We have to step forward in some way, in the way that feels most comfortable for you. But we have an incredible history. This country is something unlike any country that's ever existed in the world, and we don't want to lose it. Because if you lose this flower, it could be a dreaded desert for quite a while, as far as the human race goes and as far as the possibilities we have. We have unlimited possibilities as people, not just the United States, but the world does. But the United States is sort of the leader. As the United States goes, I believe that's how the world's going to go. So let's do it. Let's get on top of this.
Yeah, well said.
Okay, I'll make a closing statement. I want people to remember what Margaret Mead said. And it's one of, if not her most famous quote, one of her most famous quotes, the great anthropologist. And that was, that I'm going to probably massacre it, but it's words to the effect that never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can make a tremendous difference in the world. In fact, that's all that ever has made a major difference in the world. And, you know, Cheryl, you're talking to the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. You're talking to Richard Gage, who founded and is the head of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And we're just a handful of extraordinary, ordinary citizens who have stepped into the breach that our government has failed us. And we have taken charge of truth, justice, and the American way. And we are going to succeed. We know we're going to succeed. As Dave said, we're feeling our way, but we are 1,000% dedicated to success. We are never going to give up, and it's only a question of time before we succeed.
That's nicely said. All right. Richard, did you have anything, any final words?
Oh, my God, I'm on the spot here. I certainly, these guys that I'm working with, I'm telling you, they may be lawyers and researchers, but they are extraordinary citizens, patriots, and human beings, as you can tell by those comments. I just want to encourage everybody to do whatever you can. That's what I did 12 years ago. I said, well, I'm an architect. These are buildings. We've been lied to. It really upset me that we've been lied to on such a massive scale. And most Americans are completely unaware that they've been lied to. So when we get hit over the head with a 2x4, we have a choice to make. In this case, the 2x4 is the 2x4 truth. We can do something. Everybody can do something. Sitting on our rear end in front of a computer, we can do a whole lot. And that is get the AE911truth.org link to every architect and engineer that you can find and everybody else that you know. Get the LC4911.org link out there. Tell them that the U.S. attorney is impaneling a grand jury to investigate this evidence. It's no longer conspiracy theory. It's being evaluated by the highest court in the land, basically, if you consider them co-equal, as Barbara highlighted. The grand jury is the fourth branch of government. And so we don't sit back and wait for them to do their job. We alert every American who's currently uninformed to the evidence, to the fact that they, too, have been lied to, that their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren will be paying for the $6.5 trillion global war on terror that's ensued. So everybody can do something to get the word out. Talk to your congressman. Talk to your local media representatives. That's what's needed. That's the need of the hour. Volunteer with our respective organization if that's the only way you can help. Everybody can do something to be a part of truth here. Otherwise, we're part of the problem. Don't be part of the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, David Meiswinkel, Barbara Honegger, and Richard Gage, thank you so very much for all that you do. And thank you for being on the show today. It was really an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
Cheryl.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.